Are you ready, Woody? Okay, I think he's set. So are you? Okay, welcome, Woody Woodson.
Hallelujah. I know you're loving Jesus tonight, and more than that, he's loving on you. Come on. Even when you don't love him that much, he always loves you too much. I love that. I was thinking today that, you know, the Spirit of God's been speaking to me that there's, for some of us, there's one last hurrah is what I call it. And what I mean by that is there's a move of God that we're all really just started the beginning of, that's about ready to explode. Come on. You know, I saw it in the stand, the youth meeting in Florida where they had a couple hundred thousand teenagers show up just to worship the Lord. And now they have regional meetings where they're planning on how to take impact nations in a day. Come on now. And it's doable, by the way. I believe something's beginning to shift. And see, I think part of it is us beginning to realize what we actually already have. Our problem is we don't know what we have. In fact, the Pharisees once asked Jesus in Luke 17, verse 20, they said, "When is the kingdom of God coming?" And Jesus never really seems to answer their questions. You know, Jesus said the kingdom of God's not with observation. It's not by looking on outward things. And he said, "You're asking the wrong question. Because you're asking when, and I'm going to tell you where. The kingdom of God is within you. Come on now." See, it's not just coming, it's here. Come on. See, we can manifest it because we're carrying it. In fact, only we can manifest it because we are carrying it. No one else can manifest the kingdom except for somebody that actually has the kingdom within them. Come on now. You need to begin to understand that. And God's about ready to do a fresh thing. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 6. I'm going to be all over the place tonight, and hopefully I'll make sense. And there are angels on assignment, and they literally are waiting for us to rise up. And the whole purpose of the angels is to make sure the will of God is done and to give glory to Jesus. That's all it is. In fact, anytime you see angels, even at the birth of Christ, worshiping. Come on. Have you ever been in a place, and I have a couple times, where I actually heard a sound that wasn't coming from the earth in the midst of worship? It's almost like we were singing, and all of a sudden there was a different sound singing back. And it just was a fullness beginning to take, and the glory of God just began to flow in there. And I'll guarantee you, angels were in the midst. Come on. And they were literally singing the song of heaven. Come on. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 6. I'm going to have so much fun tonight. I love the latter thing. I saw that right before the beginning of this year. And it's made sense on how everything operates. And we're having people get supernatural results that before they were getting okay results. But now something's beginning to shift. In Isaiah 6, verse 1, it says, "In the year of King Uzziah's death, I saw the Lord sitting on throne, lofty and exalted with his train, his robe filling the temple. And seraphim stood above him, each having six wings. And with two he covered his..." with two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called out to another, saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is filled with his glory." So what I found out is when the angels of God really begin to manifest in a meeting, wild stuff happens. You know, wild stuff happens. God's stuff happens. You don't even have to worry about worship. It becomes so pure. You just know he's here. You can sense something. And it says, in the foundations of the thresholds trembled at the voice of him who called out while the temple was filling with smoke. Now, some things said the pillars were shaken. You know what God told me? He said, before we have this next move of God, the pillars are going to be shaken again. The pillars are going to be shaken again. Those that honestly helped bring it to this level and are still in there. I'm not talking the ones that backed away. But they're still in there. They got a new shake coming. Come on now. They're going to be shaken, and literally that shaking is going to create a fire. Come on now. And the whole temple is going to smell with smoke. It's going to fill with the smoke of God. Come on. I love this stuff. And I love that because then he said, woe is me, I'm ruined. I'm believing God to ruin you. Come on. Because I found out, till you're ruined, you're not good for much. But when God's presence ruins you, it ruins your sin life. It ruins your complacency. It ruins your bad attitudes. It ruins you just being halfway in. Come on. It just ruins everything else because you're never the same once you... See, we can take notes. But when that note, when God takes notes on our heart. Come on. Where he does the writing. And literally, we've seen something. We never can go back to what we were before. And he said, I'm ruined because I'm a man of unclean lips. And God always deals with the tongue because he always has to bring your speech to a higher level so the glory can remain. You got to understand something about God. He's a faith God. And honestly, you know, he has to cleanse our tongue from unbelief. We're going to find out later in this week he's going to clean the filter out. Because honestly, our processor is messing up the way we see things. Come on. And when God begins to show up, I remember in the meeting, well, you know, 20-some-odd years ago, I prophesied over this little boy who was 7 years old. And I said, there are millions of souls in you. I see you. Going to the nations. And his eyes got real big. He started weeping. But he's only 7. Well, a couple of years ago, his father sent me a video. I had not been back in those 20 years. It was 20 years. And he gave me a video. He said, do you remember that word you gave over my son? And I said, well, I've given a lot of words. But I said, yeah, I kind of remember that because I don't normally say millions. You know? He said, you marked him. From that moment on, he was never the same. He said, I want to show you what took place. And he literally showed me a video, and he was preaching in front of 150,000 people in Pakistan. He said, my son has preached in 27 nations. He's won over 5.2 million people to the Lord. His average crowd is about 100,000 people. But he said, it started the day you spoke. Well, it actually started in the presence of God. Because a true word of God, God watches over his word. What he does is he puts his presence on it. Come on. Because honestly, unless his presence is there, it doesn't impact us. It may be the word of the Lord, but if we're not, if there's not just a teaching and not a touch, we can go back. But all of a sudden, you just know, you know, you know, you know, you know. I mean, and it's funny because a few months ago, I got two letters from pastors in their 40s. And both of them said, over 30 years ago, when you came to our church, and there were different churches. You gave those words over me. And he said, From that moment on, I knew it was the pastor. He said, one of them said, I backslid for 20-some-odd years. But he said, now I'm pastoring the church. I want to just thank you. God marks us. What I'm saying, when his presence comes, and it's not just for ministry stuff, it's for life. Come on. But God wants to begin to mark us with his presence and with his glory. And the reason I'm saying that is I believe angels, when you have a strong presence of God, there's a strong angelic presence there too. God begins, and he said, I'm a man of unclean lips. And how does God even do clean the lips? He takes an angel, go gets the coal, so the angel can put the coal on the lips. You may not know what's going on, but the angel's part of the process. Then he heard the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And his response was, here am I, send me. Well, I found out about God. It's so funny. When you begin to have that glory, we're about ready to come into a realm of glory we've never known. We're so thick with the presence of God. We're going to begin to see and be more aware of what has happened in the other world that's invading this world. Come on. We're going to be more aware. I remember years ago I was preaching in Missouri. It's the first time I preached there. And they got me real nervous when they said the service starts at 7 and ends at 8. And I mean, in the old days, that never happened. But they did. They said, we start at 7. We sing for 30 to 35 minutes. You're going to have the mic for 20 minutes. You better be good. But at 8 o'clock, we're leaving. And I'm thinking, that's not even the intro for people like us. It's not. So I said, oh, wow. So, I mean, I said, yes, sir, because I am submissive. That didn't mean I'm going to go back. I'm just submissive. So I'll never forget, I got up there to preach, and I froze. All of a sudden, I could not move. I just totally, my body froze. I mean, I was like a statue staring at him. And I knew God was up to something. And I'm watching, and I'm actually able to see the clock. And I'm frozen for over 30 minutes. Which meant I went over my time without even opening my mouth. I'm just staring at it. And these eyes are real. Everyone's staring at me like, and I'm thinking they're staring at me because, I mean, it's kind of weird to see the frozen guy. You know? And it wasn't stage fright. It just, he's here, y'all. And all of a sudden, I come out of this thing. It's like a trance. So I have the mic. I don't know if I should say something or hand it back over. I said, thank you very much. Hope you enjoyed my message. Probably got a lot of notes, baby. And so I begin to talk, and someone stands up and said, you mind if I say something? I said, well, it's your time now. I'm over. So I gave them the mic. And they said, did you see that angel? I didn't see a thing. Well, there was a huge angel behind me. And when the person started describing the angel, next thing I know, someone else stands up. I saw it. Everyone began to stand. I saw it. I saw it. I saw it. I'll never forget that night because it was so thick, no one could leave the building. And we left at 3 a.m. You know, it was supposed to be 7 to 8. But God didn't know it. Come on. And the thing is, they asked us to do it again the next night. But it was the presence of God. I begin to realize that there's so much happening that we're not aware of. And that we're going to become more aware of. And we're going to begin to see. We're going to begin to see when we speak things, angels released. Some of you are going to be aware of your ladder, up and down. And I remember, you know, I'm going to ramble a little bit and tell some stories, and we'll get some word in on it too. But, you know, I mentioned that thing when I had that vision with, you know, Jesse Duplantis. I think I did it this morning. And I'm on the stage, and I'm watching all these angels going worldwide. And I remember when God, I asked him, I said, Lord, what are they? And he said, harvesting angels. And he said they were called to bring in two things, to bring in souls and bring in finances. And he said, in that order. He said, those that don't care about the loss. He said, I'll meet their needs, but I'm not going. He said, the purpose of prosperity is to establish the covenant. So if they don't care about people, I'll make sure they don't starve because they're still my kids. But I can't get what real wealth through their hands. And I thought that was interesting. And I heard Brother Hagin talk. And he was talking about the first 20 years he preached prosperity with holes in his shoes. He said, literally, he said, I barely could pay my bills. My car, in fact, his first car that he bought was when he was like 75 years old and was bought for him. First new car ever. You know? I mean, people look at me because they thought, oh, he's a prosperity preacher. But he wasn't real materialistic. But he was prosperous. But he said that, you know, he said for the first 20 years, he said, I preached it because it's what the word said, but it wasn't working for me. And he said, I don't preach things because it's working perfectly in my life. I preach it because that's what God said. We need to understand that. But he said, what changed in my life was I had a vision of the Lord. And he walked into my bedroom. And he gave me a scripture that I knew. He said, Isaiah 48:17, I'll teach you to prosper. I want to teach you to prosper, Kenneth. He said, well, I'll receive it. He said, I'm going to give you three steps. If you do these three steps, you'll never be broke another day in your life. And he said, I never was. And he said, the first two I was doing. He said, number one, I want you to know you have a covenant right to be blessed. That I'm going to supply all your needs according to my riches and glory by Christ Jesus. That you have a covenant right. And he said, you need to claim your covenant right. He said, I was already doing that. He said, the second thing was to use your authority, the authority of the believer, and command the devil to get his hands off of your property. Take the hands off the money and your stuff. He said, those two things I was already doing. But he said, the third thing I had never heard anyone teach on, and I never would have thought of had he not told me. He said, I got ministering spirits assigned to you. Remember Hebrews chapter 1, 13 and 14. He said, one of their purposes is to bring in your supply. He said, I want you to command your angels and tell them exactly what you need. Tell them the amount and tell them to bring it in. He said, start commanding them every week. And he said, I'm commanding you to command them, so you're submitting to me, so don't think it's weird. He said, I began to do that. He said, the moment I began to do that, there was breakthrough. He said, from then on, I never had a time where we lacked anything. I thought that was interesting. So I'm sharing this like I'm sharing it with you guys when I first started teaching this message. Now, I have somebody in that's a partner with me that owns a chocolate factory in Buffalo, New York. You know, I'm not allowed to eat it anymore, but, you know, I like the smell. When I get to heaven, that's all I'm going to eat. Just chocolate. You know, steak and chocolate. What a life. Come on. Now, I'm allowed to eat steak. I'm just not allowed to eat it on protein. But, so he said he's listening to this CD. And one word of the Lord can change your life forever. So he calls his wife in and says, honey, listen to this. We got to do this. Now, they were okay. In fact, they're business people. They're good business people. So they said, you know, we were stuck at a good place, but stuck. So I called my wife in and said, let's agree together. So they began to put faith out, and they said, well, we need a $150,000 order. Like, now. And they agreed, and they said, we just send our angels out. An hour later, the phone rings. And, you know, $150,000 for them was a good-sized order in a day. And sure enough, someone's on the phone and said, we want to place an order for $150,000 worth of chocolate. Can you handle it? He said, yeah, we can handle it. We were expecting your call. Come on. He said, what we didn't expect is that for 20-some-odd years, we have tried to get in to these chain stores, this chain that owns 5,000 retail stores in America. And he said, we've knocked on every door we possibly can. We did everything we knew how to do. But when we released our angels, 3 hours after they had prayed, they get an email from this retailer and said, we have decided to sell your product in all 5,000 of our stores. And he said, immediately, it was a 30-fold increase from where their company was. Come on. That's supernatural. You know, you can almost explain away the one. You could not explain away that. And what I believe is God wants to begin to do some supernatural things. Come on now. And he wants to actually, I believe, that angels help transfer wealth. Where the wealth of the wicked get in the hands of the righteous. I like that. One of the biggest offerings we ever had was from somebody that hated me. This guy walks in my office. We need a breakthrough because we're renting out a huge hall for a huge youth meeting. And this guy walks in my office, and the first thing he says is, I don't like you. I never met him. I said, well, that's okay. I said, God still loves you. I felt like saying it just shows you're stupid. But I didn't say it, you know, because I didn't know what. He said, I don't like you. But I love the buts. He said, but you helped my grandson. He was a drug addict 9 months ago. And God used you to set him free. And he said, even though I don't believe in anything you're doing. That's a contradiction, by the way. Even though I don't believe in anything you're doing. He said, he told me there's some project you're involved in. He said, and actually it was renting out the biggest building at that time in Tulsa, the biggest auditorium in Tulsa. And I already had the contract. I had no money. In fact, I was going to have to pull back because I had so many days and I was at my end of it. But I kept using my faith. He said, how much do you have towards it? I said, all of it by faith. Well, I had none of it by fact, just all of it by faith. And he said, how much does it cost? Well, I said, I'll show you the contract. This is what it costs. He takes out his checkbook, writes a check. He said, I don't like you, but it's paid for. I said, I hope you keep hating me and keep coming back often. Come on now. Yeah, because the people that like me don't support me like that. Come on. So, you know, I believe there's some angelic pressure being put on. See, God is watching over things. See, you know, angels will help you spread the gospel. I mentioned that today. You know, they will. You know, angels were the ones to first proclaim the resurrection of Jesus at the tomb. Come on. He's not here. He's risen, like he said. Angels literally, after the church is taken out in the book of Revelation, they're going to be preaching the gospel to those that are left. But, you know, our job is to preach. But I was doing a meeting in St. Louis. And I'll never forget, I walk in there, and there are about 25 visitors that day. Now, you understand, this church normally has 1 to 2, not 25. And the pastor looked at me and said, do you know those people? I said, no, I don't. And they look like a rugged group. He said, I don't know them either. I said, well, we better keep our eyes on them because we used to have cults come in. I would hold a meeting, and they, actually a group of them would go and sit in the church and try to disrupt the meetings. So I just thought, well, I just want to make sure they're not a cult. But I didn't feel like they were. And right in the middle of my preaching, all 25 of them come running up to the altar. So by that time, you know, you understand, this is a church where everybody packs. They believe in gun control, and they don't miss when they shoot. So, I mean, everyone was basically reaching for their concealed weapon. I thought, well, this ought to be interesting. At least, hey, we had these visitors. Yeah, we got a chance to. Did you get them born again? Well, we believe they were buried with Christ. We just are working on the resurrection part. No. So these people walk in and they run up and they yell at me, is it time to get saved yet? I said, what? He said, is it time to get saved yet? How long are you going to go before we get saved? I said, what? He said, we were at the bar last night down the block. All 25 of them. He said, we close the bar every night. And he said, an angel showed up. And he said, the angel looked at us and we thought, whoa. He said, we kind of got sobered up a little bit. And he said, the angel said, you need to be saved. They said, what? They said, I can't tell you how. But they said, there's a building down the street where it says Jesus saves. Go to that building and get saved. So he said, we are here because the angel said, and he said, he was a big deal. We don't want to mess with him. So we're here to get saved. And he said, are you going to lead us? I said, really? I said, Lord, I got to send more angels out. Man, they're just jumping. I led them to the Lord, and about 20 of them are still in church today. So I found out God will do things in extraordinary ways if we'll believe him. If you believe him, you'll see the glory of God. If you actually will believe him, you can see into a different realm. See, the whole message of the kingdom is that we're not limited. You must be born again to see the kingdom, to see the kingdom, to see literally heaven and earth kissing, righteousness and peace kissing. Come on. Does this make sense? See, I've learned that they're more with us than there is with them. That literally everywhere you go, you're protected by mega, mega angels. And if people try to come against you, angels are there. Just like Elijah when they came against him in 2 Kings chapter 6. His servant got nervous. I'll be honest, if our eyes were open, we'd never be nervous. God's got this. God sees the big picture. And God has all the protection you need around you if you'll believe him. Yes. 1,000 may fall at your right hand, 10,000 at your left, but it won't come near you. Well, who do you think keeps that? The angel of the Lord. Camps around about you. Yeah. You know, I was in the plane years ago, and I like to fly, but I've had interesting things. And nobody will, you know. I know what it's like to have two engines of a three-engine plane go out over the mountains. And I actually know what it's like to hear a pilot get on. We were flying to Rio de Janeiro. And the pilot announces, we knew it was bad. But then the pilot, first thing out of his mouth was, if you know how to pray, you might want to try it now. He said, this is bad, really bad. This is really, really, really bad. And I'm thinking, well, thank you. He said, we're going to try to make an emergency landing. So we actually were flying to Brazil, but we were in Caracas, Venezuela at the time. And we were coming down in this airport, and the lights on the airplane part weren't even on. So they had to try to take the plane back up. And the next time we come down, and you got to understand, these people, everyone on the plane other than me and my dad were drunk. They were drinking the entire time. But, you know, there are no atheists. The last moment. So I'm hearing these people. I'm hearing them. I'm watching them trying to pray. Help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. Help me. Help me. They were using his name before, but this time it was better. Help me, Jesus. Jesus, take the wheel. Come on. You know, I mean, they're just going around, and you can tell, you know, the Catholics are going like this, you know. And I'm watching them all sober up. And we're about ready to land. I got bold. My dad said, he told me later, he said, you're crazy. Because I stood up, I said, you guys are all safe because I'm on the plane. It's not my time to die yet. So you better thank me, because the only reason you're going to live is I'm here. I really believed it. You know, and then we're landing, and you see all the fire engines, and you see the ambulance coming. I mean, when you realize they're all coming for you. Come on. But we landed. Should have taken an offering. But the bottom line was, I believe there were angels on that plane holding it up, holding it up, holding it up. How many of you understand when you pray and you release angels round about you, when you're in your car and you release angels? I have to pray over my car because the way I drive, not the way other people drive. My wife prays about other people. I try to pray about me because I know me. Come on. But the bottom line is, I have angels working all the time because I'm speaking. And they hearken. Psalm 103, verse 20, they hearken to the voice of God. They hearken. They literally are there to respond to a voice that is speaking the will of God. So when you speak the word of God, you're speaking the will of God. And angels get on assignment. In fact, that's the only way they're released, by the way. Someone had to speak for them to move. Angels are voice activated. So are demons. So when you speak the wrong thing, we're always activating angelic beings. Come on. I want you to see this, because if we begin to recognize this realm, we're going to see things we've never seen before. See, I honestly believe God wants to do so much more than what we're allowing him to do. We're coming into a season of the thus saith the Lord. And when you begin to hear prophetically what God's saying from heaven, you can prophesy to the earth. You can speak to mountains that God wants out of the way anyway. You know, I believe God wants revival. I believe he wants all men to be saved. I believe God wants people to win. You know, that's not a slogan from a political candidate. God wants you to win and win big. You know? God's into winning. He's into conquering. It's who he is. You know? And he wants to teach us to win in every situation. And God literally said, I'm not only going to teach you to win, I am going to begin to have people, I have spirits assigned to you to enforce victory. You know, I don't know about you. I'm ready for a release. Come on. You know, I believe that every time we've seen supernatural revival, it's been the wind has shifted. All of a sudden, the winds of revival begin to blow. All of a sudden, you catch a second wind. All of a sudden, you know, all of a sudden, it's so easy to hear from God. And you know, you can get into a place of flow, heavenly flow, where nothing is held up. Where literally the momentum is on your side. There's nothing like positive momentum. We've all been through negative ones. But you know, I remember when we saw thousands of teenagers born again. You know, we just expected every week. We expected. And that's what I was talking about. The enemy's been after your confidence because if your confidence is gone, you're not going to command anything. I always tell people, I said, do you remember when you expected the church to be full? Do you remember when you expected visitors every week? Do you remember when you expected good things to happen? Do you remember? And be honest with you, God wants to shift us back to a place where our experience, recent experience, has held us in a place. And we've been on a holding pattern, but that pattern, God's shifting the pattern. And we're not holding, we're climbing now. And we've got to begin to recognize that we're not climbing just on our own, but there are angels saying, come on. What is wrong with you? I'm here to make it happen. Use your faith. Speak it. You can't earn it. That's the problem. You don't make it happen, but you feel like you know. That's why, you know, at times Jesus, according to your faith, but who gave it to you? See, I think we say, we think of faith as performance. It's not. Faith is believing God in spite of us. In spite of us. To believe that God can use anyone, which means he can even use me. Because I know all the mistakes I've made. But sometimes I believe God chooses the dysfunction to carry out his function. If you study all the disciples, they're all dysfunctional. Weird bunch. Weird bunch. Some with temper. I mean, sons of thunder. I mean, the guy that preaches the day of Pentecost, 50 days before, cut off a dude's ear. What did he say? Listen to me. I said, well, I could if you didn't do that. You know. If someone asked him, lend me an ear, he said, I can do that. No. But the bottom line is God uses weird people. And he gives us everything, the full support of heaven. We're going to begin to see things turn. We're going to see things turn quickly. We're going to see a turning before a returning. Come on. And it's going to start as we begin to experience his presence. We can't help but talk about what he's saying. And expecting. See, I always expect to win. I always expect to be on top. My son always expects to see the next level in technology. Always does. He said, Daddy, I don't stop at what is. Because if you stop at what is, you become useless after a while. And see, the church, so many times, we grow to a certain point and we decide that's where we want to stop. It's time to get back in. It's time to get back your fight back. I don't care how young or how old you are. It doesn't make a difference. It's not an excuse. Come on. There's work to be done, and you just have to learn, listen to the Holy Ghost. Does this make sense? See, I've learned that, you know, spirit of faith believes and speaks. So that's literally when God begins to tell you something, you need to prophesy it. Speak what God said. That's all. You know, I love what my son said. He said, Daddy, even when he said, I'm waiting for God to tell me trillion. He said, I'm not speaking trillion because he hadn't said it yet. But he said, I'm working on them. You know, God, you know what God's doing? He's stretching the capacity of my son. That's what he's doing. You know what he's saying? You're not there yet. But I put that desire in you. I put that desire in you. And see, there are certain people out there that they don't care if it's never been done before. They're like Joshua, who basically prayed such an audacious prayer, commanding the sun to stand still in the sky. Changed the whole calendar. Changed everything. Messed up scientists from then on. Because if they look at the earth is 23 hours and I think 57 minutes off track, which is almost a full day, and that's what happened. And my son said the only explanation is when Joshua spoke. And I guarantee you, and God sent an angel that was fireproof. Yeah. Hold it up there. Come on. Some of you are going to begin to see some things tonight. See, I believe that. See, angels are involved in all sorts of success. I begin to realize, you know, even when I look at situations where, you know, my son is single, and I'm not asking anyone to set him up other than me. But, you know, I don't want him to marry just anyone. And I study Scripture a lot. And when Isaac was at the age to marry somebody, Abraham called his servant and said, hey, I want you to go find Isaac a wife. I don't want marrying anyone around here. They're all pagans. But I want you to find. And the servant said, well, how will I know her? He said, I'm sending you to the area of our relatives. And I'm going to send my angel before you. And my angel, you can see this in Genesis 24. It says, my angel will go before you and make your way successful. And when the servant found, I believe it was Rebecca, is that right? Because I'm trying to do recall. When he saw her and saw her, you know, gathering, you know, getting some water and stuff, he came and bowed down before her. He realized that she was of the right type, that she was suitable, and talked to her. And one of the first things that Rebecca's dad asked is, how did this happen? He said, well, my master prayed that God would send his angel and make my way successful, and he did it. So that's what I've been praying. I said, Lord, man, my son needs a wife. So I'm just sending an angel. I don't want angels. I don't want any woman. I want one that an angel picks out. Come on. I want the right woman. So I believe in every area of life, God makes a way where there is no way. But how does he make a way? He's the way maker. But he has angelic forces literally setting things up. There's a setup coming. Come on. There's a setup coming in this area if you'll allow it. There are things he spoke for years and years and years and years. And he said, now. It's now or never in many areas. And we're in a season, it's now or never. Come on. I mean that. I'm not saying it will never happen. I say it will never happen in our lifetime. Because there's cycles. And when you literally have an open door, you better take advantage of it. And I believe that God is really taking enforcements and sending them to earth right now, ministering spirits, literally harvesting angels, because he said, now. Now. He never wastes anything. So you're going to begin to see angelic activity like never before. And that literally causes breakthrough after breakthrough after breakthrough after breakthrough. Do you know that when you pray, you release warrior angels? We saw that with Daniel's life. He had a vision of the last days. He sought the Lord to understand it. And it took 21 days for Michael to show up. And he said, from the moment you spoke, I was released. But he said, there was a war going on. And I had to take care of the prince of Persia. High-ranking demonic activity. And he said, I had to fight my way here. What would happen? See, we don't realize the authority we have to control the heavens. The authority to have an open airway. I remember years ago, I was preaching at a church, and it was pretty neat and great service, and gave an altar call, and about 100 people came forward. Many of them came just to seek the Lord. They're saved. But this little girl began to pray. I have never seen anyone pray like that before. Because when she broke into heavy, heartfelt intercession, groanings that could not be uttered literally. I mean, she was praying so hard, so intense. She's a 10-year-old. I thought she was going to hurt herself in prayer. I mean, it was gut-wrenching. Yeah. He's so cute. Yes, you are. And she's doing that. And the pastor came over to me, because by that time, I mean, he said, she had been going on for 30 minutes. He said, do you think this is God? Because it's so different. I said, let me check. So I went over to where she was. And she's just on her knees and wailing. And I was going to put my hand on her. And I heard the Lord say, sit down. Don't mess with this. I looked at the pastor. Yeah, it's God. So, you know, but what was amazing is everyone else went back to their seat. There were about 300 people in the building. Every age was there. All the kids were in that service. The babies were in that service. And literally for 3 hours, she was wailing, praying so intensely, and literally everyone else sat in silence. Nobody left. No one got to use the bathroom. You could hear a pin drop. It was like a holy moment. And I'm thinking, whoa. And, you know, it was almost like I didn't even want to breathe, because I wanted to apologize if I did. And yet she's screaming. And all of a sudden, after 3 hours, and you understand, it was a long service before then, so we were there for 5 hours by that time. All of a sudden, I'm sitting in the front, and I'm laughing uncontrollably. It just hit me. And I'm, ha! And I'm thinking, that's wrong, because she's, oh! I'm, ha, 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 oh! And I remember saying, Lord, the next thing I know, the whole church is laughing. I said, Lord, what's going on? He said, it's like when you're in the delivery room and the mom was still pushing. She's doing all the work, but now you see the head. Come on. So you're rejoicing because you're seeing the head. But she's still pushing. She's doing all the stuff, but you're you finally are seeing some manifestation. So when she came out of that, all of a sudden she started laughing. And she comes out and, you know, looks at me. She said, "Brother Woody, do you mind if I say something?" I said, "You might as well talk. You did all the work." And she explained. She said, "This is what I saw." And she named all the ruling spirits over that area. She said, "This is so-and-so. That's caused the divorce rate to be 80% in this county. There's this so-and-so. That's why we have so much alcoholism." And she's 10 years old. She said, "I saw all these dark, demonic forces." But she said, "As I begin to pray, I saw angels, warrior angels full of light, coming and attacking." And he said, "As long as I was praying, they were pushing back the forces. The moment I even stopped," because there were times she tried to catch her breath, he said, "the other forces would regain ground." But she said, "I prayed and I prayed and I prayed." And she said, "The light won. The angels won. The atmosphere is clear now." Now, these are angels. Come on assignment. And I thought, that's cute. Yeah, I didn't know what it meant until for 10 years after that date. From that moment on, every church that preached the gospel had unprecedented growth in that area. The divorce rate went from 80% to 20%. The bars and the places around that began to close. It was almost like 10 years, heaven on earth. Now, the church didn't keep it, but they gained it. And it always stuck with me. How, if we could activate our angels, we could keep the atmosphere clear. And sometimes you have to even activate angels in your house by taking authority over things, you know, over spirits, and releasing the angels of God to clean the place. You know, you can't clear out the people that carry the thing. You shouldn't. But get rid of the spirits and the baggage they carry. Come on. And you don't have to partake of their baggage. You know, my house growing up, my mom was crazy. There was so much suicide and stuff in my family. Both my stepsister and stepbrother tried to commit suicide. My stepsister's in a wheelchair because she jumped off the top of the roof of the house. My stepbrother cut off a finger and tried to jump off a bridge. And I already knew there was demonic activity in the house. Growing up, I knew it. And I didn't even know, I wasn't even born again, but I knew it. So every time I would go even visit my parents, even though my dad was born again, he didn't know the authority he had. I would go in the house, and my mom would say, "When you come, peace camps." He said, "We usually have all this upsetness." He said, "When you come, it's so peaceful." And I said, "Yeah, I know." I said, "You can do this." And they said, "Well, no, we can't." Well, eventually they sold the house. I was grateful. But the bottom line is, you can do this. And how many of you understand, even with angelic activity, when it's your time to go home, angels will carry you. You know that? That's scriptural too. With a rich ruler and Lazarus. One was buried, the other was carried. And when I've learned, I was at my wife's grandma's we knew she was any moment was going home. So we're sitting at her deathbed, literally. And she was ready. I've never experienced anything like this in my life. All of a sudden, we're sitting there, it's the middle of the night, And a blinding light comes into the room. Blinding. And my wife and I were just, our eyes were like, whoa. I mean, indescribable light. And I'm saying, wow. And her grandma sat up on the bed, smiled. And she had been in a coma. And she said, they're here to take me home. And the moment she said that, she was gone. What a way to go. What a way to go. You know? And I said, wow, that's first class. That's first class. I want to live first class and die first class. Come on now. I want to, you know, come on. I don't know about you. I want to see. You'll never have everything God has for you unless you begin to speak what God says and expect God to perform it, you know, through angelic beings. See, as soon as Zion travails, she gives birth. I believe a travail for revival is coming on the church again. I believe that we're going to begin to cry out for the lost. I believe that the travail, the heart of God needs to come for this area. And what you're going to see is not only travail, but joy unspeakable and full of glory. And it seems like it's like juxtaposed, but it's not. It's as you begin to travail and you begin to see things getting birthed. Come on. All of a sudden, you get so happy it's ridiculous. And when you get happy, people are drawn to it. See, I found out my angels are happy. They're vicious towards the enemy, but they are happy. Come on now. They are very happy angels because they're in shape. See, God's looking for someone to stand in the gap. In the fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. There's a season we're coming into. So angels will keep the devil from killing you. He'll guard you in all your ways. Literally, you'll see, even when Paul got shipwrecked, right in the middle of that situation, an angel comes to him and says, you're going to be okay. You know, many of you, I've had angels give me messages. When I was at Oral Roberts University, because of the way I grew up with my mom and my sister was severely mentally retarded, and I had some scars. Even though I was born again, I had some scars in me. And I remember I was studying for finals one day at ORU, and the Lord said, I want you to take a break, which I always liked hearing. Because I was like a B student, not an A student, but a B one. I was okay, I wasn't dumb, but I wasn't my son, who is. And I'll never forget, he said, I want you to just take a walk and outside. He said, I've got a message for you. So I thought, you know, I was going to walk around, he was going to talk to me. Well, I walked around, and I see this little guy on a cane, walking around the campus, looking really weird. So I was used to that because ORU, all the partners, and everybody knew that. Everybody would come and say, I know Oral Roberts personally. I get a letter from him. He writes me personally every month. And I didn't mean to say it, but I'm thinking, if your name's not on one of these buildings, he doesn't know you personally. You know? And that's not a knock. But I come up to this guy, and I said, can I help you? Because he looked kind of confused. And he looks at me and said, you're the one I came for. I said, oh, that's great. I got crazy out here. And he said, God sent me here with a message for you. I said, really? And he told me things no one else knew. Nobody knew. He told me things about my past. He told me things about my future. He told me why, how God was healing what I went through. And my eyes are, And, you know, I thought he was a prophet then. You know? But the reason I knew he wasn't a prophet is this guy barely hobbled. And the moment he stopped talking, he vanished. There was nothing. I mean, it's open space. No one can even run that fast. And this guy was not capable of running. I said, Lord, is that really what my angel looks like? Give me Clarence. No. But the bottom line is, I can't explain it, but sometimes you when you talk to strangers, you're entertaining angels unaware. That's what Scripture said. Angels many times would come and warn of things. You know, Jesus was alive because of the ministry of angels. Because they came to Joseph and said, don't go back there. Come on. I mean, I didn't know. It's funny when God pinpoints something, and all of a sudden, everywhere you look, they're there. And I didn't see them before. I thought, that's cute. You know, I just read over the stuff. Now, I'm so aware. I'm so aware that I have an army on my side. I'm so aware I have all these beings working for me. And they're actually working for my Father, which is in heaven, but they're assigned to me. I'm so aware that breakthrough's in the air. I'm so aware that honestly, anything God asks me to do, that He's going that we're going to use all of heaven and earth's resources. Does this make sense? The last thing, and then we're going to pray for you. But I think something's going to happen tonight. And I believe for you for this year, for a year of breakthrough. And I'm going to be honest with you. Many of it is going to be your faith by the grace of God. But it's also going to be angelic hosts. But one last thing. I was preaching on the importance of praying when God tells you to. If God wakes you up in the middle of the night to pray, don't. Because there are seasons. There's the deal. There's kairos moments where God needs you at that moment. I believe we're coming to a kairos time frame. Where literally, we better redeem the time. Where God, and I was telling people, I even gave a word and said, someone's life here today is going to be spared because of this message, if you'll heed it. Well, one of the elders there called me later that week. He said, you know, my two sons are alive today because of your message on Sunday. I'm sorry, he's so cute. That's a good distraction. Yeah, that will preach right there. Yeah, that's all right. God did good again. But the thing is, you know, what happened was God woke him up at 2 a.m. and said, pray for your sons now. And their sons were driving back from North Carolina to Maine. And the oldest son was driving. He fell asleep behind the wheel of the car. And he was going 80 miles an hour. They were in a little sports car, a very, very low to the ground sports car. And actually, I don't even know how the brother, there was a back seat because the brother was in the back seat. I didn't even know there was a back seat. But he's laid, the younger brother's laying flat, sleeping. The older brother falls asleep. He's woken, and he's going 80 miles an hour, and he's a few feet from the truck. He didn't have time to do anything. He said he felt a hand. Now, this my friend just woke up and prayed immediately. He said he felt a hand push him off the seat and lay him flat and hold him down. At the same time, his son in the back seat, something picked him up and threw him onto the floor and held him flat. They hit the truck at 80 miles an hour. It made it on the national news because it shaved the entire top of the vehicle totally off. And they ended up in the ditch. And they were laid flat out. And there wasn't a scratch on their bodies. And they said, we know it had to be angels that took us and literally prostrated us in such a way where we wouldn't get killed. And that was in response to a daddy's prayer. Now, there are things that we don't understand. You know, there are times I'll pray and I don't know what I'm praying for. I just know it's time. And God will put someone in my heart. Many times I don't even know what I'm saying, but I'm just saying, God, they need help, so help them. Now. But there are breakthroughs in the way. And there are angels waiting to be reckoned. And how much calamity could be avoided? I was preaching my last story, but I was preaching at Victory Bible Institute. Righteousness, teaching the class. Now, I can mention the person's name. Very, very, at the time, famous evangelist's wife was in the course. I was amazed because she would sit in the front row. And I was teaching, and right in the middle of my class, I stopped. And I said, I don't know why I'm saying this, but you need to pray before you get in the car. And I said, if the Lord tells you to take a different route, take it. But you need to pray and release the angels of God. Because the reason I know what I said was this evangelist's wife was killed in a car wreck right after my class. And I said, God, you always give me warnings. If they're under my supervision, you always, I never, and I was almost upset with the Lord. Like, Lord, why didn't you give me a warning for somebody? He said, get this tape. It was back in the cassette tape days. So I got the tape and listened. I said, you did give me a warning. She probably wasn't paying attention. But her life could have been spared. I believe that many times, if we'll just hearken to the voice of God and then become the voice of God, whatever he wants you to do, whether it's pray, speak, just do it. When we are coordinated with heaven, miracles happen. When we are coordinated with heaven, breakthrough happens. When we're coordinated with heaven, we have stories to tell. Come on. Because people ask me all the time, my son will bring up my stories. It's like the time you did this, Daddy. He wasn't even born then. But he knows the stories. People tell my stories. You know why I have stories? Because I listen. I just obey. And to be honest with you, the only thing I'm fairly good at is obeying. The rest of it, it had to be God. In spite of me. Not because of me. In spite, God uses the foolish things to confound the wise. You know, it's like the pastor in my son's church, he said, we are dumb enough to believe we can do what's never been done in this area. He said, everyone was telling us we're insane. We said, we already know that. But we're going to obey God anyway. And, you know, they were planning on building a sanctuary this year. They don't own anything. Instead, the Lord said, plant another 5 churches. He said, that wasn't what I was planning. He said, you can go by your plan of mine. So far, mine's doing pretty good. He said, yes, it is. Well, I've learned is God wants to release things in your life. How many of you want a breakthrough? How many of you say, hey, I'm ready. See, what I found out is I was wearing myself out by not using my servants. Not allowing the ministering spirits to minister. Come on. I was wearing myself out trying to make it happen on my own. I've stopped doing that. We're calling all sorts of things, and now all these doors are beginning to pop again. Places I would never have thought I'd get into. And they're contacting me. You know, I mean, I was told, you know, by some people, you know, by your season is over. Well, that season's over. My new season has just begun. Amen. Come on. Amen. And that season had a lot of highs in it. The last season was really good as a whole for me. But I had some lows in too, but I had some highs. This one, we're going to go higher. Amen. In fact, my floor is going to be the ceiling of the last season. I believe that. How many of you are ready for breakthrough? You know, I know everybody in here, so I'm not going to. But I mean, how many of you tonight, you say, I'm ready. I'm ready to go. I'm all in. I'm all in. See, what I found out is the degree you're in is the degree you can command. My son's church, that we constantly hear that. Everywhere I was, we're all in, Pastor. We're all in, Pastor. We're all in, Pastor. And see, they're not a church, they're a community. They said, we are a Jesus community. He said, this is not a place you go. It's a life you live. And we do it together. Come on. And see, I believe that's the way the church was supposed to be, knit together. But how many of you tonight, you say, I'm coming for my breakthrough tonight. I want you to come on. I want to pray for some people tonight. If you need a healing in your body, let me know. We're going to see those. Yeah, I mean, we've watched God do things before. Let him do it again. This year, you know, we have seen so many miracles. William Branham, one of the great healing evangelists of all time, he would never pray for the sick until a healing angel showed up. He said if he tried to, he wouldn't have any results. But when he recognized the healing angel, they had some of the most amazing miracles. I was just with a 70-some-odd-year-old man that was healed in his meeting as an 11-year-old. I believe it's breakthrough time. How many of you believe it's breakthrough time? I want you to lift up your hands towards heaven. Thank him, thank him, thank him, thank him, thank him, thank him. Because I found out something. You know, thanksgiving releases everything. Joy releases everything. Believing you enjoy, you know. I found out something. If you believe you receive it, you'll get happy. If you believe it's a done deal, you can pray confidently. And God's about ready to take this to a level it's never been before. And he's going to take you to a level you've never been before. And this is a season where the glory of God's going to fall like it's never fallen before. You're in a new place. You're about ready to get into a place in God you've never been. And there's such a hunger and a thirst going on that people don't even understand you. But that's okay. I found out when we get to a place with God where we don't care what people think, only what God thinks, something supernatural begins to happen. You know, my greatest critics many times are my greatest supporters now. They thought I was crazy. But then they saw the results. Some crazy people get crazy results. Come on. And God's restoring. I just see the word restore all over you. Restore. This is the season. Huh. Like a country song played backwards, but better. You get everything better back, but you get doubled. Double for your trouble. See, that's what I love. God's about ready to do things supernaturally. He's putting the super on our natural. And what man can't do, God can do. What doctors can't do, God does. When man says it's impossible, God sits in heaven and laughs. And all of a sudden, the super comes on the natural. He's moving on your behalf. Oh, it's your season. That's the glory of God. It's your season. It's your season. It's our season now, the anointing and the glory. The miracle power. You are a living miracle. And that same power that raised Christ from the dead lives in you and quickens you. There's such a fresh fire going on. Ho ho! Enjoying His presence. See, when we get to the point where we just enjoy Him so much, that's not even about what He does, it's about who He is. When we start worshiping God as our healer, more than we just are asking for the healing, it's just who He is, and you can't, in His presence, He begins to rub off. See, more is going to happen out of relationship than anything else. And it's not a relationship with our faith. It's a relationship with our God. In the season that you're in, it's going to combine everything that I've done in the past. But then I'm going to put a surprise on top of it that's even going to shock and astonish you. And you're going to begin to recognize that everything you've done throughout your life was preparation for this moment. It's almost like you've been in school and it's time to graduate. And downloads from heaven are going to happen so fast. And you'll speak it and see it almost immediately. This is a season that you've been waiting for, that you've been anticipating. God said, get your confidence back out there. Get your confidence back out there. There are certain things I told you you were going to do. And the deal's still on. But He said, Lord, I don't have the energy. He said, I do. But Lord, you know, we were young back then. He said, you still are. It's a new season. And I've learned it's not by the energy of the flesh. It's by the Spirit of God. See, before we needed extra energy because we, to overcome stupid. You know that's right. The Lord said, you're going to do things quicker because you realize you don't want to redo anything. You know? But this is a season. Healing's flowing. Anointing's flowing. Everything's beginning to line up with the perfect will of God. This is a season where God will bring in anything you ask Him for that's according to the assignment. So begin to ask. Begin to ask big. See, I've learned the level of our asking is the level of our understanding of our Father. Come on. Because I'm asking for stuff now. I work for churches and with churches. And I'll never forget this last year and the pastor, they had just finished paying off their building and it was too small. It's too small from the moment they built it. But it was the biggest building in the area. And he said, Woody, I don't want to go back into debt. In fact, he felt like God said, you can't borrow a cent. And the land next door came available. And they were landlocked. So he asked me, he said, what are you going to do? I said, you got to buy the land. You got to buy the land. He said, well, I'm not supposed to buy. I said, I don't care. Go to the bank. Do what you need to do. And by the time you're going to sign that thing, God will do what he does. But you need the land or you're not going to grow. And I said, there's no other buildings in this area that can accommodate what you guys are doing. So they borrowed. It was a big number for them. And they had to buy like 50 acres. They only needed like 3. They had to buy 50 in order, and they had to buy a house on the land. I said, just do it. He said, I don't want the house. He said, well, I don't care. He said, well, I'll sell my house and move into that house. And he said, at least the church will be out less money. Because it was a big house on it. I'm going to show you how God sets things up. The day that they're going to sign, this businessman calls the bank and says, I want that house. I want the land. I want the house. And he said, I really don't want the land. I just want the house. And he said, I can't give it to you. I gave my word. It's a verbal contract. You know, in fact, they actually signed it, but they haven't had the down payment yet. It's due. So he calls the church. The Sunday before that, they signed pledge cards. And he hated it. He said, but we had to do something. And this guy calls him up, a businessman. He said, I want the house. He said, well, we own the land. He said, I don't want the land. I want the house. He said, I need about 3 acres for the land. He said, the rest of the acreage can be yours. He said, I'll pay you the entire price for the land. I will actually call my landscapers because they were putting up a pavilion, sports pavilion for a sports complex. He said, I will do all the landscaping. I'll do everything involved. He said, you don't need to borrow a cent. If you'll just give me the right of way to the house in 3 acres, the rest is yours. So he got up in front of the congregation and said, tear up your pledge cards. It's paid for. But he had to move. I believe when we begin to move, God begins to move. And I believe this is your season. And he's going to give you your heart's desire. And he's going to literally begin to do things so supernatural. And you know why he does it? Because you're his favorite. And see, sometimes that's hard to grasp, the favor of God. Because you've had to earn and gut it sometimes. But now you're going to begin to see the favor of God all over your life. And that power is flowing through you. And he's restoring everything. And this is a new day. He's giving you desires of your heart. And he can continue to expand that heartbeat on the inside of you to see that which he already showed you come to pass. And now God says, I'm putting the super on the natural. And I'm going to do things unbelievably because I'm that type of God. In the natural, it's unbelievable. But you're going to become an influencer and a shaker. And you're going to look and say, how did I get here? And you know it's the grace of God. And that's what he's doing. He set you up. It started off with the heart. Stretched your heart. Now your heart is what's going to impact everything. So get ready for that. It's a new season. Now our church in Pennsylvania, it was 5 years ago, the pastor called me. He said, will you pray about something? He said, I think we're supposed to have a sports ministry in Kenya. And he said, I don't know anyone in Kenya. But he said, this is what God showed me. He said, we're going to start a sports club in every single village in Kenya. and we're going to use it for the gospel. And he said, so we prayed on it. You know, this last year he's been working with some orphanages over there. He shows up in a ministry. The minister, the ambassador of sports, I didn't even know they had such a thing, of Kenya shows up. He says, the president of Kenya wants to meet with you. So he walks into the office and the president of Kenya said, tell me your vision. He's a born-again guy. He said, tell me your vision. He shared the vision. He said, that's what I thought it was. He said, we are authorizing you to start sports club in every single village in Kenya. He said, we will support it for, as a nation. We will get behind it. You can bring the gospel in. And now there are 500,000 Kenyan teenagers involved. And this is not a huge church in America, but changing the whole nation. That's what God does. It's only God. See, you know, the breakthrough you need, it's in you. I know you do. And we're believing God for that, for the manifestation of what he's already done. That's all it is. So, Lord, we speak right now. We speak to this body. We command it to line up with the word of God once and for all. That we devil, you get your hands off of God's property now. I really, there's the power of God right there, right there, right there. God, I thank you, you touch. I thank you, Lord. You completed it on Calvary, but you enforce it right now. We thank you. We command every lying symptom to leave in the name of Jesus. We declare this body will be whole, healthy. She'll be strong all the days of her life, which will be full and many in Jesus' name. You're going to get your life back in that area. See, that's what I believe. It's time we get our life back. Come on. I mean, I've had things, you know, come up, and I'm thinking, no more, devil. I know what's mine. And there's nothing that says that once you get to a certain age, you have to accept things. So, God, we're getting our fight back. Come on, you feisty thing, you. See, we paid a price to get here. I mean, you fought just to be here. You know? I mean, it was almost like everything the enemy could throw at you. I mean, everything that could get messed up got messed up. But God said, I'm going to turn these messed up things into a message. And it's a message of my grace and my power and my restoring power. This is your season now. Oh, receive your healing. It's yours. Fire of God's going to hit. There it is. The fire of God. It's going to burn, and it's going to literally, that fire is going to go into every single place and restore. See, our God's a consuming fire. What I found out is he likes to consume the works of the devil. That's why a lot of times when I pray for people, fire gets on them. It's like that fire just burning up all the works of the devil and restoring things. There's the anointing of God. We've been dreaming big. It's our time now. It's our time now. It's our time now. It's our. We're coming into a season where the limitations are going to be removed. Many of us, we've put a lid on, and our lid's not bad. It's just, but there is no lid in God's way. So we say, God, you're allowed to do this, but I'm not sure about that. Well, God's about ready to blow the lid off. He said, I don't live by the houses built by men. I don't live by your word, but you live by my word. I don't live by what you see, but I will enforce what I see if you'll begin to see what I see and begin to speak it. This is a season where what took many years can be done in a moment. And what the devil did for many years can be undone in a moment. That's what it is. Huh. It's kingdom lifetime. It's kingdom lifetime. And the king is in our midst. And he's going to decree a thing, and we're going to decree the same thing. It's going to be established. There have been times just recently in one of the meetings, I just began to command people to come out of the chairs. I was shocked because God said, do it. So I began to decree. I said, get up, walk. And, you know, it shocked everyone that knew the people. But all of a sudden, there was a rattling. And they were coming together and they began to move. I believe there's coming a time where the authority that we have that's tied to the authority of God, that'll be just like God himself speaking. Come on. The things are going to begin to split wide open. And things that have been withheld are about ready to take place. And that anointing is going to begin to hit. And you're going to see so much good in your life as God begins to touch and restore. You're going to have so much fun, it's ridiculous. It's your time to have some fun. It's your time to have some fun. He's going to turn some mourning into dancing. In fact, he's going to give you the final laugh on some stuff. Come on. I've learned God will turn our weeping into dancing. It's a new season. You know what God said? Forget what lies behind. I'm about ready to do a new thing. I'm going to take the pain of the memories of the past, heal them so you can move on. That's happening. You're so precious, it's ridiculous. See, God's doing that. God is literally undoing what was done to us for years. You ready for that? I am. I'm ready to see what God said, spoke over this place 25 years ago, begin to come to pass. I'm ready for it. You know, people ask me, they say, why do you go certain places? Because I want to see what I know is supposed to happen. And it's time. And he's going to use the weirdest people to do it. So you all qualify. Come on. I thought for a while I had to be normal to do this thing. And finally God told me, he said, if you were normal, you couldn't do it. This is our season. It's your season. You're always there in the middle of everything. Yeah. And in a good way now. That's the change. Because God said, I'm about ready to do some things for you. Open some things up. It's almost like, you know, you've been very limited, but those limitations, God said, I'm about ready to expand some stuff. Make a way where there is no way. Get ready for it. It's our season. Thank you, guys. I'm going to get out of the way because I don't know what else to do.